Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Dave Shumka is a very funny and talented comedian based in Vancouver, British Columbia. A colleague of mine from our days working together at CBC Radio, Dave co-hosts the long-running and popular show Stop Podcasting Yourself with his friend and fellow comedian Graham Clark. Dave recently launched a new short-run podcast called This Sounds Serious, which is a sharp and genuinely compelling, serialized true crime parody that is wrapping up after 8 episodes. Just ahead of that, Dave and I caught up for a conversation about podcasting in the modern age, comedy in the modern age, living in Vancouver in the modern age, franchising a Wendy's restaurant in the modern age, and many more contemporary topics. With in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, and Planet of Sound locations in Ottawa and Toronto, and of course, flexible monthly pledges by listeners like you at patreon.com/creativecontrol, this is the 401st episode of Creative Control, featuring Dave Shumka with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hi, Dave. How's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you, Vish?
I'm well. It's nice to speak with you. It's been years since we've spoken, I think.
It has been.
I don't know why so much time has elapsed between conversations, but it's nice to have you on my show. It's nice to have you here. And where are you in the world today?
I'm in my home in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Nice. How are things in Vancouver?
Just great. we're starting off our Junuary.
Yes. The weather is always a point of contention for some people in Vancouver. What does Junuary mean exactly? It's sort of summer, but there's not snow, is there?
Oh, yeah. We're under a big blanket of snow. No, it's just, you know, it started getting warmer and then it stopped getting warmer.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. It's the way that city is. Now, how long have you lived in Vancouver?
My entire life.
You're from? I didn't know that.
Except for college. I lived in Victoria, British Columbia.
So you're a British Columbia guy. You like it there.
Yeah, I do. I'm not just trapped here.
Now, I heard tell from one of your podcasts, because you have at least two that I know of. What are the two podcasts again?
At the moment, my two podcasts are Stop Podcasting Yourself and This Sounds Serious.
That's correct. So on Stop Podcasting Yourself, there was the recent news revelation that the Wendy's in Vancouver was shutting down. Is that true?
It is true, although it has been pointed out to me that there is another Wendy's in Vancouver, but it's a little remote, but there is the one closest to downtown is closing, and so now there's only one left in Vancouver, and it's way at the south side of town, far from downtown.
Now, this impacts you personally a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm a big Wendy's head from way back.
That's what
it impacts me in the sense that if I ever want fast food, I somehow feel like I'm above McDonald's.
Yes.
And Wendy's is like, I know it's not, but in my mind, it feels like the healthy option. because their food hasn't been frozen.
Yeah, and the salads are okay. My son and I have this debate all the time. He's always teasing me because I refuse to take them. He's never been to McDonald's. He thinks it's evil because of me, but we will go to Wendy's and A&W, and he's just starting to be like, well, wait a minute. Why are we able to go to these places but not that place? And I don't have a solid answer. I didn't go with the frozen burger thing. I probably should.
Yeah, it's marketing, I think.
It's marketing.
We go to these places because we believe what they tell us, and somehow we're conditioned to think that McDonald's is worse.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Well, anyway, that's something I learned from, I believe, the most up to now, you and I are speaking. That's the most recent episode of Stop Podcasting Yourself. And
that's the kind of hard-hitting news we give you.
It was a letter, wasn't it? Wasn't it a listener?
A listener tweeted at me and said, Dave, there's going to be no more Wendy's in town, and there's still 15 A&Ws. What are you going to do about it?
And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be okay?
I don't know. I'm going to be okay. I think they're going to just have to open another Wendy's. This town, it's people make, people will kind of eulogize these restaurants that go under because more condos need to be built, but no one's going to eulogize the Wendy's, and I feel like that's what I'm here for.
Is there going to be a condo where that Wendy's once stood?
There's always going to be condos everywhere. It's nothing new, but you know, people get upset if it's like our favorite cafe is closing down, and it was a family owned thing, Well, Wendy's is kind of a family-owned thing too.
Absolutely, Wendy's was named after Wendy, Dave Thomas's kid.
Yeah,
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
You know, every time I have someone from Vancouver on the show, we inevitably start talking about things like condos and real estate. That seems to be the news that we get eastward. Has this been blown out of proportion? Is the real estate thing really a big thing in Vancouver? Is it a big deal? Is it a problem?
Yeah. It's totally a problem. Everyone I know is like constantly worried about being evicted, about having to leave town. It's a news story on the local news about real estate every day. Some new loophole, some new hoop people have to jump through. So yeah, no, it is definitely not just a cliche. It is we live and breathe it.
I should clarify that I did not doubt the comments that have come from my guests regarding this issue, but one of our mutual former colleagues wrote a story saying it was all a myth, and I thought that was odd because I didn't understand where he was coming from, that real estate was actually fine. You're saying there's no way it's possibly fine.
No, it's not fine.
Okay, it's a big problem.
It's a big problem, I would think people you talk to, like creative people and people in the arts, it's people who don't have, you know, a ton of money coming in. It's very hard, especially for like venues to stay open.
Yeah.
And especially independent venues that aren't necessarily bars. Mm. It's definitely something that worries the people in the circles that I run in.
Yeah, and are you yourself worried? Have you contemplated skipping town?
No, I'm fine.
You're okay. Okay, good. No, I'm just checking. You never know. You're one of the, you said it yourself, you're one of the creative people I might be talking to. So you're doing fine. You're doing just fine.
I'm one of the very lucky ones.
Okay. All right. Well, I am thrilled to have you on the show to talk about this latest podcast. We'll get into different things, I'm sure, but This Sounds Serious is remarkable. I've been enjoying it immensely. And while I have a sense of where it came from and what you're satirizing, can you, for people who haven't heard the show, can you contextualize This Sounds Serious for us?
This Sounds Serious is a parody podcast parodying true crime, specifically shows like S-Town, Missing Richard Simmons, which I guess isn't technically true crime, Serial, Dirty John, these kinds of of podcasts that come out and are, you know, people binge them. And if you listen to podcasts, They're all over the front page. They're all your podcast friends will ask you if you've listened to this. And so we're parodying that, as well as a few those kind of like Netflix true crime documentaries.
Making
as well.
A Murderer and these sorts of things.
Exactly.
Right.
The cult one.
Wild Wild Country, that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So you have been in, how long have you had the other podcast that we were talking about, Stop Podcasting Yourself?
Debuted in March of 2008. So it has been a weekly show for over 10 years.
Wow. And congratulations. Now, that's great.
Thank you. And now I'm doing, so this one is, it feels good to do something that is not going to be an obligation every week for the rest of my life. but to do like a short run show that I can put out into the world with some friends and just kind of have it stand on its own. And, you know, people can discover it whenever.
So you've been in the podcasting game, if you will, since 2008. That's pioneering territory. That's early days for some people in terms of podcasts. And at the time, I would say that most of the podcasts you heard were specialty things like comedians talking to comedians, maybe sports guys talking to sports guys, that kind of stuff, conversation-based stuff. This true crime thing really has taken podcasting over. And I sense that that's what maybe spurred this on. Like you were trying to get to the bottom of what it was, why it's popular and why it's ripe for satire. Like, what do you make of the phenomenon of true crime podcasting being, like you say, the domineering force in podcasting today?
I get it. Like, because we started our show 10 years ago with no concept, and we didn't even realize that was a mistake. We didn't even realize you should have some kind of concept to hook people, other than just being like available once a week. So the fact that there are these shows that are short run and have, you know, focus on a crime, I think it's kind of, I feel like an idiot for missing it 10 years ago. Like, why didn't I think of something?
Right.
I think they're great, and they all kind of have, like, I listen to a bunch of them, and I get excited when a new one comes out, and there are all these kind of tropes that they all kind of have that I fall for every time, and I love, you know, binging and kind of trying to come up with my own theories as it goes, because the way it works is, you know, they come out, they either release them all at once or they come out once a week. And if they're once a week, you have time to formulate a theory. And it also involves the storyteller.
Right.
Because you're like, what is the storyteller withholding from me that they're going to let me know next week? Because I know they're not writing this week to week. Like they've got a game plan going in. So, but I buy into all of them. Like anytime there's a new one, I get excited and I just want to, I want to discover it along as it's coming out. I'm a real kind of naive listening to them.
So you mentioned some of the tropes that hook you, and I assume these might be some of the same tropes that you viewed as being ripe for parody or satire. Can you talk about some of the ones you mean? Because I hear it in This Sounds Serious. Like, I hear what you're talking about, but can you kind of expand upon that?
So when we started writing the show, it was the guys who make This Is That on CBC, which is kind of a fake, like, As It Happens, kind of a fake public radio show with all these little fake stories that are believable. And they're great at kind of like mimicking the audio tone of a story. and so the four of us got together and we kind of went through what we wanted to cover in an 8-part true crime show. What do we want to have? So there are certain things that appear in shows, like when the host of a show gets too emotionally invested.
Right.
This happened in Serial, where you're like, is Sarah Koenig in love with Adnan? Like, is there something going on we need to know about? And so we kind of have a little bit of that in This Sounds Serious. There's also things like when a cliffhanger at the end of an episode, when they just get a phone call from someone, you know, maybe it's the inmate in the prison who they're talking about, that happened on Atlanta Monster. Or maybe it's just a listener who's like, you're missing something. I know this case.
Yeah.
Here's what you need to follow. So that's one of the tropes we tried to, you know, have one episode that at least addressed one of these, or every episode at least addresses one of these things. We have an episode that's all about a cult, because there's usually some kind of, not usually, but that's something people are obsessed with as along with true crime. So we have one episode about a cult, and we have, you know, we have one that's pretty easily a spoof of S-Town, where, I mean, our whole show is, I think, more closely related to S-Town than any other of these shows, because we're comedy people. Mm-hmm. And we want to follow a character around. We're not necessarily, we've never written a murder mystery before. We can throw in things that we think are interesting, but we want to be able to tell whatever the story is. We want to be able to tell it in a compelling and funny way. So I think S-Town was sort of the blueprint for that, because it's just about this one crazy character.
Right. Now, you mentioned that this is that, you know, co-conspirators, I suppose. Do you mind just naming them and maybe describing everyone's role? I'm just curious.
I'll describe their complexions as well.
Yes, please do. And they're what they're, you know, sartorially. What do they look like? Yeah, go for it.
Well, the two main voices on this is that, and the stars are the Peter Oldring and Pat Kelly, and the two of them do quite a few of the voices on This Sounds Serious as well. Peter Oldring is the main. The murder victim and his twin brother,
Daniel Bronstadt.
Daniel Bronstadt is the prime suspect, and Chuck Bronstadt is his deceased brother,
right?
The weatherman. And they do have sort of distinct voices, even though they're twins, and that was just kind of a choice to make in terms of an audio treatment.
Sure.
And Pat Kelly usually plays one or two characters in every episode, and Chris Kelly is the third member of the team, and he is the producer, and he's just a complete audio genius, and can, you know, we get a lot of people who believe it's a real show, mostly because of his ability to treat the audio in such a way that it's compelling and believable.
Yeah, he's a very gifted producer, and another colleague of ours from CBC. So that's good. Now you mentioned the true crime podcast that you've gotten into. Were you, like me, a true crime kind of aficionado as a kid? Did you watch like A&E biography? Did you read every book about the Manson family murders? Like, did you do that? The JFK assassination? Like, I don't know why I was permitted to do it. I just became obsessed with all sorts of murder mystery folklore. I'm fine, by the way. I've turned out okay. But I just I would immerse myself in those worlds, and I found them quite fascinating. Were you like that?
I don't think I was quite so immersed, but I definitely, like everyone, you know, growing up in the 90s, there was all the, you know, all those cults. There was the, you know, the Waco, Texas thing, and I was, you know, 12 when that happened, and I thought it was super interesting.
Yeah.
And also like OJ and all those kinds of, you know, crime became kind of a thing on TV, and America's Most Wanted and Unsolved Mysteries and things like that were my kind of intro into true crime. But I never read any books about it, or I never watched a documentary or a series following a single thing.
Right.
But I think that's maybe also the way television has changed. Like on America's Most Wanted, they would, you know, they would profile someone for 15 minutes, and they would do three Most Wanted an episode. And now they'll spread a crime over whatever, you know, 8 episodes.
Yeah, you spoofed one of those crime shows on This Sounds Serious as well.
Yeah, this week we did one that was basically supposed to be, you know, 48 Hours or Dateline.
Yeah.
Called Last Known Whereabouts.
Right.
That was one of those sort of things that they would just show marathons of on the weekend on A&E, and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, our case in This Sounds Serious mirrors another case that has already happened, and so people are wondering if there are parallels.
Yeah, the Weatherman Strangler, is that the...
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that sounds plausible. Do you think that's a plausible theory? I know you're a bit close to the story.
I am a bit close to the story. I like to leave everything kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
Until we reveal it at the end. So yeah, it's plausible.
Okay.
Everything's plausible at this point.
So you didn't read about true crime or watch too many true crime things as a kid. What was your upbringing like, and what was your entry point into comedy, I suppose? Do you remember? Like, do you remember being sort of sparked by something you saw or read or watched or whatever?
My upbringing was great. And I, you know, my family laughed a lot. That was sort of it. And, you know, we watched Saturday Night Live, we watched SCTV, The Simpsons and Seinfeld and all that stuff. And so I really didn't have, as a kid, I had no kind of patience for anything but comedy.
Oh, interesting.
Like I never, you know, I didn't really like action movies. I really only wanted to laugh, and, you know, well, I liked music too, but that's not what we're talking about right now, Vish.
I didn't. I said nothing. I said
I know,
nothing.
I know. So yeah, no, it was. So I've always really been interested in comedy. I did improv in high school, and then when I was in my 20s, I saw Zach Galifianakis on TV. And I was like, oh, this guy's so funny. And he was doing stand-up, but he was playing piano
right
on Conan and telling jokes. And I was like, oh, I wonder if he's ever coming to Vancouver. And I went to his website, and he was playing this tiny little bar. Not even a bar. It was a Salvadoran restaurant. Salvadorian? El Salvador restaurant.
I think you covered yourself quite well there. I think that you covered all possible bases with that potentially racist comment, but yeah, that's fine. No, it's not. I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I don't know either. So I'm with you. I think that's right.
It's a demonym. I don't think I could be accused of racism.
No, I don't think so either. I apologize for even invoking that. I retract that statement, if I may.
So I called up this restaurant and I said, "Can I get tickets to this show?" And they were like, "What are you talking about? You just show up. It's just a show. Like, it's $5 at the door." And it was just like sort of an open mic night called the Laugh Gallery. But Zach Galifianakis happened to be shooting a TV show in Vancouver. So he was a regular there. And so he would headline and play the piano and tell jokes. And it was, but all.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The other acts on the show, and there were like, you know, six or seven other comedians, they were all just local people.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody I had ever heard of. And so I went to that a few times and it occurred to me, oh, like, how great is it that you can just be nobody and, you know, be on the same show as a guy like Zach Galifianakis.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I've kind of always been into comedy and I, you know, you watch stand up and it's just a guy's thoughts. You thought, oh, I could, you know, I have thoughts. I just don't have a microphone.
Yeah.
And so I asked to be on that show, and my who became my close friend and my podcasting partner, Graham Clark, is the guy who runs that show still to this day at a different venue now. And he was very encouraging. And so I started doing stand-up through that and did that for a few years. And then I realized, I kind of think I would rather make people laugh just by like, you know, what works best for me is putting something out on the internet as opposed to showing up at a bar.
Are you not doing any stand-up at all anymore?
No, not really, no. Huh. I mean, some kind of performance-y things, but not... I don't have a set or anything. I don't have jokes I have prepared. But if I ever, you know, if it's like a special event, there are certain kind of special comedy things where you come up with a piece just for that night.
Yeah.
And I'll do that from time to time.
Well, when we worked at CBC Radio together, I was always struck by you because I thought you were very funny and extremely funny. And I thought the writing that you came up with for these radio things that we would work on sort of together, I guess, not really. As I recall, our main interactions were you were filling in on a show that was normally produced in Toronto, and then I would take everything you did and kind of put it together. That's pretty much it. But I remember distinctly laughing at everything you came up with, and a lot of it incorporated music and because it was a music show. And I guess I'm curious, like you describe your trajectory, how yawning was the gap between I'm going to go to this open mic thing and I'm going to write some stuff down and then I'm going to go get on stage and perform it? Because I think that's where the divide happens, where people are like, yeah, I think I got some stuff, but now I got to actually... It sounds to me like you had misgivings about performance even, so I don't know if I'm answering my own question there. But yeah, was that difficult to go from, I'm going to try this, to I'm going to get on stage?
Yeah, sort of. Like, it is kind of... Like, I definitely had to, you know, convince myself. It's not for everyone, and it ultimately wasn't for me, but... It's the kind of thing like people write our podcast all the time and ask like, oh, how do I get into doing stand up?
Yeah.
And it's just like many people have given this advice, but you have to just be prepared to fail in front of strangers for years.
Yeah.
You'll have a good set and then you'll have five bad sets and you just have to keep going because nobody is good right away. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's frustrating because you see people who are good and it's so effortless just to be that comfortable, to be able to like be present in the moment, you know, not just it's like, it's not just writing jokes and, you know, being naturally funny. It is a completely different muscle to be able to go on stage and, you know, know what the audience is experiencing and be likable to them and, you know, comment like in a way that they can relate to, not just sort of, you know, be a person on stage telling jokes, even if they're the most brilliant jokes in the world.
Yeah.
Someone in the audience is going to be unhappy. And so you kind of have to, feel that energy and, and just be able to live in that moment. It's such a strange, there's nothing that can prepare you for it other than doing it.
Yeah, but it sounds to me like you did it, and then there's also like, I think some people don't have the realization that it might not be for them, you know? They just keep doing it and they're miserable. You got out of it.
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones.
Well, you really...
No, yeah, you're right. Like, people... You know, the reality of it is if you want to be, you know, a working comedian, this is like your life has to be, your weekends belong to a comedy club. And even if you don't feel like going out on a Saturday night and the audience is so drunk and it's going to be a bad show no matter what, like you can't do anything about it, you have to do it. Like, yeah. It's just, there are some realities about stand-up that you just can't. Like, it's great to play alternative shows and independent shows, and those are like the most fun things to do. But if you want to do it for real and you want to make your living at it, you have to do everything. You have to do those shows, but you also have to do clubs. You have to do things that you maybe weren't prepared for, things that maybe aren't your favorite.
You have to do. You have to have a YouTube channel. You have to have a podcast. You have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you and Graham didn't have a concept for Stop Podcasting Yourself. I mean, the title itself is pretty loaded. You seem to, and you know, This Sounds Serious is another sort of. It's a play on the landscape on some level. It's a parody of something going on in the podcast landscape. Is this your livelihood? I guess podcasting is what you do, right? I mean, this is what you do to make a living.
Yeah, our Stop Podcasting Yourself has been going on for 10 years, and we're on the Maximum Fun Network, and every year we have a fun drive where people pledge to the show and they donate, and that's great, and it's a lot of help. It's not enough to make a living, and so that's why I kind of do other things, and I was fortunate enough that this thing came along, and it's hopefully can keep going on.
Yeah.
It's my livelihood, and I'm very it's my favorite thing to do. I'm very happy that this came along at a time when like the podcasting in general came along at a time when I sort of figured out that it would be something I could enjoy and make money at.
Yeah, your 500 episodes, you're just past 500 episodes on the,
yeah
the other
530 show? Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. So you're deep. You're well past 500. I'm just trying to do math on the fly, and apparently I'm not good at it. So you did make a comment earlier though that I found intriguing, because I go through it myself with my show, which is you made this in reference to This Sounds Serious, like, I wanted to do something that is short run that I don't have to do every week for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
It feels like the people making these kinds of shows, these weekly, feeding this beast weekly. I mean, I know for me, there are times where I'm like, why am I doing this? Do you have this doubt?
A little bit, but I mean, I mean, honestly, it would be great if I could make a living doing that one show. Like, it is the thing that is. I get together with a friend and a guest, and we just make each other laugh for 90 minutes. So, like, there's nothing better than that, and more kind of straightforward. And it's not an obligation, really. It's just, it's something that I would miss it if it were gone. But it's, like the idea of having to, the show has no concept. It's just
talking,
us,
right?
Yeah, we're just talking and we're trying to make each other laugh. And so
this is a point I want to raise here and interject with, because I also have primarily a talking show, and to break things up for myself at some point, I decided to make a couple of documentaries. I tried to do some track by track things with people so that we were talking, but it was more focused. And that turned out to be, Dave, that turned out to be a lot of work, a lot more work than just talking to people. But there was part of me that's like, there's all these just people talking to each other. There must be some other way of doing things. And now you've got this Sounds Serious, which is this other side of podcasting, right? Like, it's not just people talking. It is but it's a lot more work. So I guess I wonder if This Sounds Serious has altered your perception of what can be done in the media.
Sure. But like the idea of since our show, our Stop Podcasting Yourself has no concept, and we've seen so many great concepts crop up. We always have the idea of like, let's come up with a second show, but we don't want it to go on forever. So
yeah,
I mean, it's great to have a show that goes on forever, but I wouldn't want to have two of them.
It's kind of how I feel about my children. what is the future beyond? So you mentioned there's 8 episodes for This Sounds Serious.
Yeah.
And we're at, as we're speaking, we're at 6. I think 7's about to come out, right?
6 just came out the day we're recording this.
Right,
so.
Right. So 7's coming out. What can you tell us about what's to come? Can you tell us anything at this point? Is there some glimmer of, for those who have been following the show as dedicated a manner as I have been, I just want to know what's coming up.
Well, episodes 7 and 8 are coming up. So what we know about the suspect, Daniel Bronstadt, is that he is not in prison. So in the next episode, he will be on trial and we will find out why he's not in prison. And then episode 8 will be a lot of fun.
Okay. Revelatory in some way. We will learn maybe what happened.
Yeah. And it'll be, I think there's like some pretty good comedic twists as well that are, that kind of play on the, you know, what do you really want out of these shows?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. And you also, you mentioned the crew you've been working on the show with primarily, but you do have some very, you know, gifted guest stars, right?
Yeah, we've had Paul F. Tompkins on, who people know from every podcast. we've had, today we had Lauren Ash from, she's on Superstore on NBC.
Yeah.
And she played this kind of, someone who has a different kind of murder podcast. Someone who just has like one of these kind of true crime shows that's just for fans.
Yeah, that was a bit odd.
Yeah, but those shows exist.
Right.
And so she helps tell one of the stories, and we've had the narrator on the show is it's played by Carly Pope, who's an accomplished Canadian actress. As well. And then tons of local Vancouver comedians have come on to do voices.
Right.
We found that that's been kind of we've flown down to LA a few times to record with Carly and Peter Oldring.
Yeah.
But because of the nature of these shows, a lot of the voices are just people on the phone. Sometimes, you know, you go, the host of one of these true crime shows will go interview someone in person at their office. So there can be all kinds of types of audio. And so, you know, it's a lot better, more streamlined than, you know, making a TV show where things have to look right. You just have to, you know, there can be a reason someone's voice sounds a little strange. And that's because we had to lower the pitch so they don't sound too much like the other character they're playing.
Right. So you mentioned that this is finite. It's an 8-episode run, but do you have your eye on like, obviously, this experience, it sounds like it was a fun one for everyone involved. Do you have your eye on something else in this vein, like something else you can kind of satirize or make fun of?
Yeah, we have a few. We've decided, like, when we started this up, we had a few different names for it, before we came out with it, we didn't know what we were going to call the show. And it was Pat Kelly's idea to call it This Sounds Serious because it's, you know, it's supposed to sound like a serious show, but it's not. And then you can just call it This Sounds Serious Season 1. And so it's basically the format that the guys from This Is That have perfected of sounding like a serious thing.
Yeah.
It's so repeatable. So we, you know, we have ideas for season 2 and 3 and 4. We don't know what's what yet, but we definitely see the response has been so good to this that we definitely want to do it again.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. That's excellent. That's great. And what about stop podcasting yourself? I did hear that you're coming to Ontario for some couple of shows, right?
Yeah, we are coming to Ottawa on June 28th and Toronto on June 30th. So we try to come to Toronto at least once a year because that's, other than Vancouver, that's basically where our second biggest audience is.
Right. And so do you have a sense of what is going to happen at these shows yet? The guests and the venues and things like that?
Well, the venue is in Toronto is the Harbourfront Center, which is in the Harbourfront.
it's in the center of it, I believe. That's correct.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
And it is, we have a couple surprise guests. Just, you know, every time we go, we get some of our, like, so many Toronto comedians come through Vancouver that so many of them have become favorites on our show.
Yeah.
So we try to get a couple to put on. And yeah, I think honestly, it's mostly a chance for, I feel like people show up just so they can meet us afterwards.
Right.
Because the live show is kind of, you know, 90% as similar, not like, it resembles a taped show very much. It's not like when you listen to WTF and it's all serious and then they do a live WTF with 5 comedians on stage. Ours is sort of the same tone regardless. It's, you see a lot of, you know, white guys with beards and glasses who have dragged their girlfriends. That seems to be the vibe.
Right. Okay. And in Ottawa, do you know the venue in Ottawa?
In Ottawa, we are playing St. Brigid's Center, the Kildare Room.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And yeah. So that'll be fun.
Is Ottawa, I know Toronto is a hotbed of Canadian comedy. Is Ottawa flourishing at the moment, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, it's doing all right.
Yeah. You have friends there.
Yeah, we have friends there. We definitely have people we can have on the show.
Okay.
Which is not true of every place we've played. And sometimes it's strange, or you get booked as part of a festival and you literally can only choose other people who are booked on that festival and you don't know any of them.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
It's a little tricky.
And is there anything else that you're working on that, is worth mentioning? I know you do lots of different things. Anything you want to mention?
No, I think those are the big two.
Yeah,
the ongoing podcast and the short run podcast.
Okay, and where can people learn more about you on the computers and the phones and whatnot?
They can follow me on Twitter at Dave Shumka. That's probably your best bet.
You're very funny on the Twitter, Dave.
Thanks, Vish.
Very admirable. To watch. You just had a very funny tweet about comedian Jerry Seinfeld the other day, which I was not expecting. Did you get some flack for that?
Well, I don't think it was very funny. It was...
I guess it was more disturbing, but yeah. I didn't know. I saw your tweet, which for those who didn't see it, was basically, do you want to actually do it justice? I don't want to paraphrase.
I don't remember the wording of it, but it was, hey, does anyone remember when Jerry Seinfeld was 38 and dating a 17-year-old?
Yeah, so that prompted me to be like, did Jerry Seinfeld end up in the news for something? And then I looked at it and it didn't seem... I think you just randomly had that thought. Is that right?
I was sort of thinking about the Me Too movement and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's next? And Jerry Seinfeld has always kind of seemed, you know, he's come off as like a moral superior in a lot of the things he does and his tone of comedy. But he's... I just didn't want people to forget that.
He was you know, that show meant a lot to me. His sitcom... It really
did.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, so I kind of glossed it. I just made this realization with the new Kanye West that I have just glossed over so much reprehensible. I think this is part of the Me Too movement, I guess, is why do we continue to gloss over all of this behavior?
Yeah.
For the sake of a record or a TV show or something. It seems like maybe we should reevaluate our priorities.
Sure, and it's something, if it's something you enjoyed when you were a teenager and it was the 90s, like... You know, people talk about how racist the show Friends is now because a lot of people are re-watching it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is. But that's because the 90s were racist. That's because, like, it wasn't... That show didn't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad we ended on that note. So, again, at Dave Shumka, the shows are This Sounds Serious, Stop Podcasting Yourself, available on all of your podcasting platforms. Dave, it was nice to reconnect, and I hope we talk soon, and best of luck with everything going forward.
Thanks, you too. It's great to talk to you again.
Special thanks again to Dave Shumka for appearing on this, the 401st episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available on all iOS and Android platforms and also on things like YouTube and Spotify and Audioboom. If you can't find an episode that you're looking for some reason, or if you wish to learn more about me and sign up for my regularly scheduled newsletter, please visit vishkhanna.com. You can like Creative Control on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Vish Creative, or follow me at Vish Khanna. Listen to a radio show version of Creative Control on Wednesdays at noon Eastern Standard Time around the world at CFRU.ca or on an actual radio at 93.3 FM if you're in or near Guelph. Also, please consider visiting patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast running. And if I can help you in exchange, if I can send you a t-shirt or some kind of gift, a show of gratitude, send me a message on Patreon and let's work something out. I'd like to thank some of the in-kind sponsors of the show. Again, Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, and Planet of Sound in Toronto and Ottawa for sponsoring the show in their own special ways. I'd like to thank Jim Guthrie for letting me use the instrumental version of The Rest Is Yet to Come to end this show each and every week. Visit jimguthrie.org for more information about Jim. And to you, finally, last but not least, thanks for listening to this episode. Thanks for listening to other episodes and downloading the episodes. That's a big help. So thanks for doing that and subscribing to the show. Please subscribe to the show. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to the show. Leave a nice rating and review. All of that stuff seems to help the show gain more ears and all that stuff. And that would be nice. It's not necessary, but it's nice. That's all I can say. All right. I will talk to you very, very soon. Goodbye for now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.